Happy anniversary, Point Place United Church of Christ. I am honored to be invited to worship with you as you celebrate 100 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good to be back, because when I look at you, I remember and I feel the love you have for each other and the love God has for you. A love that has expressed itself in faithfulness, goodwill, and service for 100 years. Anniversaries are a time of reflection and remembrance. As we gather together for worship this morning, we will reflect on yesteryears and we will remember those who worshiped with us in the past, those who are no longer present with us, but whom our hearts recall with great fondness and care. We are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses. Let us acknowledge their presence among us with a moment of silence. Amen. Times of reflection and remembrance require times of silence. Jesus understood this, so when he learned that his friend John the Baptist had been put to death by Herod, Jesus withdrew from the place where he had been preaching to a deserted place where he could be by himself to grieve. But Matthew tells us the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw them waiting for him. And the compassion he could no longer give to John, he poured out on the crowd, for they had come so far. And he took, excuse me, froggy. And the compassion he could no longer give to John, he poured out on the crowd, for they had come so far, and he took pity on them and healed their sick. Those who followed Jesus that day may not have been much different from any of us. God's chosen people had fallen on hard times. They were like children who left home to fulfill their dreams and wound up in a far country with no money left to return home. They were like travelers who've been robbed and beaten and left by the side of the road. They were tired and hungry and lost. Matthew has drawn a human portrait, and it looks a lot like us. Jesus knows who we are. Jesus calls us the poor and those who mourn, and Jesus knows where to find us. We are the ones who cannot afford to be indifferent to the good news, however it may present itself. So, even though it's late, and we find ourselves in a deserted place, we sit down with a crowd of 5,000 men, besides women and children, because Jesus told us to. The ground is beaten down and as hard as a church pew. Legions of travelers have gone this way before us, leaving only the impression their feet made on the ground as they passed by. And now, 5,000 men, besides women and children, are sitting on the hard ground waiting, as we are now, for whatever comes next. Then Jesus stood up, took bread and fish, blessed them, and gave this simple meal to the people who were gathered there. They ate and were filled, all 5,000 of them, besides women and children. And they took up what was left over, 12 baskets full, 5 loaves of fish, of bread, and 2 fish became the gifts of God for the people of God, the act of Holy Communion we celebrate today. The mystery of what happened that day defies our attempts to explain it. All we know is the hard ground of that unfamiliar place became the holy ground where God was revealed in the simple act of sharing in community. It just might have been the first gathering of what has become known as the church. In these acts of compassion for the poor and hungry, Jesus shows us the face of God in human flesh and reveals himself to us under the sign of compassion and hospitality. These are the places where God is often found in the guise of the most ordinary and the least significant, proving that God is capable of making much of nothing and something of almost anything at all. Ultimately, all meals are about hunger, but not all meals satisfy. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven in order to satisfy our deepest hunger, our hunger for God. The daily bread we pray for each Sunday in the prayer Jesus taught us is the gift of God's Son. Jesus gave meaning to every common meal where people gather together in my name, whether it's Holy Communion or the church potluck. Jesus promised, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." In Jesus, God has come to share our human lives, and by the sharing, change them. Each Sunday for 100 years, this church has come together to share a moment of prayer, to feel the comfort in the touch of a hand, to hear the sound of music, and share the joy of human laughter. Not much to go on, perhaps. No splendor crashing through the ceiling. Only a glimpse or a whisper. And yet, these are the silent witnesses to a kind of certainty that God is with us. We are not alone. Ours is a faith that invites us to recognize Jesus as the Christ, the one who centers our lives in every time and place. When we recognize the risen Christ at the center of our own life stories, our stories change with the same power with which God intends to change the world. It is the bread of Jesus' life through which our own lives are interpreted and given meaning. Jesus, the sacrament of God, becomes in us the sacrament to the world. Incredible? Of course. The Apostle Paul calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. To believe it will change your life and the life of the church. Jesus demonstrates in the act of inviting, nurturing, and sending forth disciples what has become our intentional reference when we celebrate Holy Communion. The common meal we share today is the pattern of God's hospitality and a sign of God's presence in the world. This is what we do because this is what we profess. This meal, so like and unlike any other, is about God's desire to fill the hungry with himself. God has prepared a table before us in the wilderness of our longing to be filled with all the fullness of God. Can we expect to grow in the likeness of Christ if we don't eat the meal God has provided? The bread which was broken and this cup poured out is food for the weary and for the poor in spirit, food for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and those who mourn. These common elements blessed, broken, and poured out, tell the story of redemption in the language of bread and satisfy the soul's hunger for God. Do this in remembrance of me, our Lord said. Today we will gather together at the table as Jesus told us to. We will sit on the hardwood of our church pews, which bear the patina of all those who have sat here in the past. We will celebrate the life we share, and we will remember who we are and to whom we belong. Come to this meal just as you are. Come because you have been invited by none other than the host of heaven. We will break bread and share the cup. We will do this in remembrance that Christ died for us and feed on the goodness of God together. A choir of angels will sing, and a century of witnesses will join us in saying, "Thanks be to God." Amen.